Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday night blessing. This is George Watkins. And I have the privilege of being here again with you on this wonderful Sunday night together. Well, we're going to talk about the good things of the Lord, bring up some things that we may have needed to be reminded of. What a good thing it is to know that God is consistent and faithful. You know, they discovered science in 1600, 1700. They discovered science because they discovered that everything that was created by God is consistent. It stays the same. It doesn't change. So when we come to the promises of God, they are consistent. He is faithful to not forget his word. He's faithful to not forget his covenant and covenants that he has made. And of course, the final covenant was cut and made and confirmed and provided by Jesus Christ on the cross. So you and I have a faithful covenant, a faithful God that will never change. Aren't you glad that gravity doesn't have opinions to it? In this last go around, where it seems like science has lost some of its credibility. Let's put it this way. The scientists have lost some of their credibility when they think it's a democracy. 1,400 scientists say this is how it works. And 7,000 scientists over here. So they're voting to see if science, the study of nature, the study of everything from the stars to the atoms, they are consistent and they work the same way every time. So back in the what we call the Dark Ages, when they begin to break out of that darkness into some revelation, they discovered, and I think Francis Bacon may have been one of the first scientists that discovered that as they study certain things that they could do through the microscope and other things, that they always happened the same way. It was called consistency. Life was not random. Life didn't change through the seasons. Now, if we believe that God set everything in motion as to be faithful and consistent, then we can believe that it's not going to change. We'll wake in the morning, gravity will be the same. The sun will come up, the sun will set. We'll have rain and we'll have snow, and well, in the Northwest, and we'll have harvest, we'll have seed time and harvest. God promised in the Old Testament, as long as there was an earth, and time and space, there would be seed time and harvest. So if man and his quote-unquote great wisdom doesn't get in the way, we will have food and we will have a house to live in and so forth. Okay, just a reminder, as we come to you on this Sunday night, we're going to talk about casting your care upon the Lord. Now, this is kind of rudimentary. It's simple. It's kind of 101 Christianity. 101 Jesus is still Lord. But I want to read a little bit out of 1 Peter in a moment, and then just a snippet out of Psalms to remind us that in this chaotic time that we are experiencing, the promise of the Lord is that he would expose and he would reveal and he would take back the sheet from the curtain. Most of you remember the classic story of the Tin Man and the lion and the little girl that went out of Kansas and had all this fantasy stories. Well, after she got through all of that, after she got through all of her dream life, came back to reality. She discovered that there was someone manipulating the puppets behind the curtain. The curtain was taken back and revealed that there was a puppeteer running everything. Well, God's taken back the curtain, and he's exposing in our American culture and government, exposing dirty deals and shady people and crooked and lying, lies and perversions. And he promised he would do that. Now, what's the purpose of exposure? That we may see that God is still the master controller, and he has his hand on our future. So let's not panic. Fear and anxiety and cares, the cares of this world, come from the fact that we're not allowing our eyes to see this through the Word of God. In my opening notes below, I gave you a little scenario of the walk I take. All of a sudden, I've got cares. All of a sudden, I'm worried. Why? And then I check myself out, and I see that I have not allowed my filter, the heavenly filter, the Word of God filter, to filter out the things I'm hearing and seeing. And because I haven't allowed that, suddenly I am overtaken, or at least affected by anxiety. And when I am infected by anxiety or care, the cares of this world, suddenly I am worried. I am nervous about the future. So, 1 Peter 5 and 7. Let me read it out of the Amplified. 1 Peter 5 and 7. He says, casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all, the Amplified says, on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. I was doing some study on this again, some meditation, and it struck me that this is dealing with the church, with people, and with groups of people in the church. So he goes back and he talks about, he starts off the first verse, I warn and counsel the elders among you, the pastors and spiritual guides of the church, as a fellow elder and a eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a sharer in the glory, the honor and splendor that is to be revealed. Tend, nurture, guard, guide, and the flock of God. That is your responsibility, not by coercion or constraint, but willingly, not dishonorably, motivated by the advantages and profits, but eagerly and cheerfully. Now, it's interesting when I get to verse 7, we're talking about cares and anxieties. But these first verses are all involved with people and the church system, structure, life, community. It's in this group of people that I come up with anxiety. Whoa. Hey, if I'm hanging around a group of Christians, if I'm hanging around a group of spirit-filled Christians, quote unquote, we love that group of people, don't we? If I'm hanging around and living in among and working with and dealing with people that have been forgiven, redeemed, and they walk in the Holy Spirit, why am I ended up with anxiety? Whoa, that's a shock. Well, it's not if you've been there very long, because we're still dealing with people who are dealing with the world, the families, pressures, all the things that the world offers, the you know, living in the world and being a person, a human, we end up with pressure from within and pressure from without. Now, that doesn't all come from the devil. Much of it, and maybe most of it, comes from our own soul and the thinking that we have that needs to be redeemed. The scripture continues to remind us and teach us to have the mind of Christ. So we know the mind of Christ certainly is the word of God, or I should say the words that God spoke. Not all the Bible, and I know I get a little flack for this, not everything in between the leather covers is the word of God. Some of it is description of a town or history of a people. Some of it is the revelation of sin and debauchery and murder. Some that's we call that the word of God, but it's not all the word of God. The words that God speaks or the words that Christ speaks, the instructions that the apostles give that they heard the Holy Spirit say, the writings of David's, you know, David and the epistle, the prophets, words of God. We know that. That's not the argument. But it's those instructive, building, guiding, counseling, correcting, and even upbraiding words of God that we have in our spirit. Those words filter out anxiety and fear. So when I go to the Word of God, those words, and take them in, their life to me, and they begin to cause me to not be overcome. So we live in a community of people that are real humans, real people that suffer and experience real things. If the mind has not been transformed to what God is speaking and saying to us, if the mind has not been cleansed or washing of the water of the Word of God, if the mind has not been washed so it's not picking up the debris, Paul called it the superfluity of naughtiness in the King James. That means the dust, the overspray. I have a classic 41 Chevy that sits in my garage. And every once in a while, even though it's sealed in a somewhat contained seal, the garage door and, you know, the roof over the head, every once in a while I have to go with my California duster and dust it off. Well, I could cover it up with a cloth. Sometimes I do that, but I don't get to see the beauty of it when I come and go. I see the beauty of it more than I drive it. So I like to have it there coming and going. But it gathers dust just because the air moves around and the doors open and the outside climate comes in. So I have to keep it dusted. That's what it means, the superfluity of naughtiness. That word means the overspray of the world. So I'm going and coming out of into my business, my job, my school, my church, and I come home and I have to have God's heavenly California duster dust my soul. How do I do it? I do it by meditating upon the living Word of God, the words God spoke through the pages and through the meditation. All the words of God do not come through the Bible, the book, the pages. They come through what he speaks to me in my prayer time, in my meditation time. The words of God are living words. They're not just on paper and ink. They live. So when I read the paper and ink, there's life in that that sparks and jumps into my spirit and washes me clean. But there's also those times when I'm just meditating upon him, when I'm loving him, when I'm laying before the Lord or in the presence of God, whatever, you know, I could be on my knees or my feet, but I'm in his presence. He speaks to me. He not only comforts, but he reveals himself in so many ways that it is life. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So any time in my life, in my journey, that spirit and life comes by his speaking to me, that's the words of God, words of Christ. Amen. They're not all in red letter. We call them the red letter words of the gospel. Okay, I like that. They're easy to find and they are filled with Christ and his speaking to us. But even the scriptures tell us that if everything he spoke would be written down, the whole world couldn't contain it in the bookshelves. Well, that's a pretty big slice, isn't it? Well, what do we do with that? We know then that there's things he has spoken that we need to hear, or he is speaking that we need to hear. So the scriptures also tell us that the Holy Spirit will bring back all the things that were spoken by Jesus. 40 days, we know Jesus taught the disciples about the kingdom of God, unrecorded in the book. But those words are promised by Jesus himself that he would bring them back to our memory. Well, I'm looking over the shoulder of the disciples. There were at least 11 of them and more that were taught by Jesus in those 40 days. A 40-day seminar, a 40-day meeting with the risen Christ would have been somewhat exciting, somewhat revelatory, somewhat powerful. Unrecorded, no video, no recording machine, but the Holy Spirit promised to bring them to us. Okay, so that's part of what comes back in those meditation times. That's part of what we receive when we tune in to that live broadcast from the 40 days that Jesus taught his disciples, launching the church, launching the new kingdom, new kingdom age, launching the living word kingdom age of God that started at his resurrection. Amen. Wow. That ignites my faith right now to know that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that lives in me, the Godhead who lives in me, is speaking to me every day. It's those words that I have to have in my eyes, my ears, when I hear something from the news broadcast about doom and gloom, the end of the world, the next pandemic, on and on and on. What a bunch of rubbish. I cannot allow that to dominate my soul and my mind and my emotions. Well, when it happens, what do? I go back and cleanse my mind by the washing of the water of the word. I go back and I submit to truth. I don't listen to those things. Like you, I have an iPhone and a computer. Like you, I probably cruise through the neighborhood too many times, spend too much time looking to see what's happening. And I tune up, the panel. Here they are, four people, three people, and they're going to tell me what to think for the next 24 hours. Well, I've decided that those people have an opinion that probably is not going to match my trust in the Lord. Also, even though no matter how much experience and smarts they have, they are still guessing, and they have an opinion, and they have an emotional response to what they know. They expect me to tune them up and believe that their word is solid gold, and I'm supposed to set my emotions and set my, my vision for the next, 24 hours or 2 months on what they're telling me. No, I refuse to do that. Why? Because they're just an opinion. And I guarantee you set those same four people up in a week, their opinion has changed. Why? because it's based upon faulty information and moving ground called sand. They're building their opinions and their understanding on sand. When something happens in the news, don't listen to it for at least 4 days, because by 4 days, you'll have a different picture and a little clearer. Give it a week and you'll have a better picture. So what do? We stay with the words from the scriptures that are God's words to us. We stay with the words that we hear in our spirit. We stand upon the unmovable word of God, that has been spoken to us personally. Now, in my life and my journey, which has been coming up on a new birthday, I've been at this thing a long time. Based upon that and the things that I have heard God speak to me, I have been guided by His Word. Not just the Bible, but His Word to me. Go preach the gospel. You're called to preach. That's a word from God. It wasn't in the scripture. Oh, He told me in one place to go and preach the gospel. That's, you know, that everybody reads that. They get that. But not everybody that reads that has been called by God with a word from God through the Holy Ghost of God that penetrated my soul and it's never changed. Now, I've been faithful to that in every degree that I could understand it. Have I made some wrong turns? Sure. That's why we have a turnaround sometimes. That's why God allows us to put it in reverse and back up a little. Why? Because we're learning to hear. But I've never doubted those words that He gave me when I was a teenager, when I was a child. I knew God's voice. Okay, so we're talking about cares. So these things that come then and cause anxiety and worry. You see, I think anxiety and worry is just a barometer or a thermometer or a gauge that we can read and we say, uh-oh, it's getting too hot in this house. Let's turn that sucker down. That's what your thermometer's for. So you can see when you need to adjust the climate. Well, that's what hunger. If you never knew you were hungry, you could be cooking along there and just faint, fall over and not know why. Oh, I forgot to eat for the last 2 weeks. Come on, folks. God built in us sensors so we can know when it's too hot, too cold, and I'm too close to the stove. Don't touch that stove. Why? Because I touched it one time and it hurt. If I didn't have a pain sensor, I'd hurt myself. I wouldn't know when to let go of that hot stove. God put that in your spirit. You have a sensitivity to right and wrong. It's called a conscience. Paul talked about the searing of the conscience. We don't want to have that happen. And that happens only when you ignore the pain and you just keep doing it until you have no feeling. But God gave you a sensitive heart. All right, so casting all your care, that when all of a sudden I'm feeling like I'm worried, okay, that's a barometer, a thermometer, a gauge. What do? I return to what 1 John said, when you have sinned. Oh, well, I didn't sin. I just was worried. No, you're sinned. That's a sin. Now, it's not a sin to death, not a sin to hell, or, you know, all those dark things. It's a barometer, a feeling, a sensing. Hey, I've missed something that's the scripture calls a sin. Now, a sin is technically missing the mark. You're missing the mark. What do? You come back, you repent of missing the mark. He says He's faithful and just to forgive you for missing the mark and missing the turn. You go back, you get on the track, and you stay righteous. You're not losing the righteousness, but you're losing the sense, the the strength, the encouragement, the power, the protection, the comfort, the peace that comes with righteousness. Amen. Okay, well, that's my word for today. It's not all of it. That's a good start. And David repeats that in Psalms 55:22. He tells us that we need to cast our care, Psalms 55:22. I didn't have it marked, so you'll just have to watch me find it. Amen. 55:22, David said, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be moved, make to slip, fall, or fail. Wow. That opens up a whole nother picture of protection. The angels of the Lord are encamped around about you to guide you and keep you in your way. Ha ha. Ever bump into something you don't know is there and you feel like you hit something? That's an angel blocking you from being a dodo and going the wrong way. Oh, Lord, I look back in some of my teenage years and my emotions and wondering if I was ever going to find my way through life. Some of the doors that slammed in my face. Oh, Jesus, teenage years are interesting. Pray for our teenagers. They really need our help in this generation. All right. Well, I love you. I bless you. I thank you for your encouragement, support, prayers, thumbs up, liking me on Facebook, support, subscribing on YouTube, and just being that strength that I feel coming back from many of you. I thank you for your comments, the good ones. I thank you for all the things that come my way. And if you are prompted by the Lord to send us a gift, financial gift, PayPal is still working, and you can use that or our snail mail. You can just mail it to us. Amen. Great blessings. Monday's coming like a freight train. Tomorrow morning, I'll see you early, bright and early. And on the East Coast, it's 7 a.m. On the West Coast, it's 4 a.m. Until then, be blessed. Don't allow your soul to dominate your spirit. Your spirit is in control. Exercise it. It's a muscle. And you'll find it'll grow and become stronger every day. Until tomorrow morning, may the Lord bless you and guide you in all your ways.